Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you in peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, we will sing together from Psalter 120, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Judge me, God of my salvation, plead my cause, for thee I trust. Hear my earnest supplication, save me from my foes unjust. O my soul, why art thou grieving? What disquiets and dismays? Hope in God. His help receiving, I shall yet my Savior praise. I mentioned to you Psalter 120, stanzas 1, 2, and 3.
Thank you.
scripture reading this morning you can find in the letter from the Apostle Paul to the Hebrews, the second chapter. He mentioned to you Hebrews chapter 2. But before we'll read the holy law of God. God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. We mentioned to you Hebrews chapter 2. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, What is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the Son of Man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that he is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God has given me, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that has the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Thus far.
Congregation, let us seek the Lord's countenance in prayer and ask for his presence and blessing in this morning hour. Let us pray together. Almighty, eternal, faithful Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, on this first day of the week, on the first Lord's Day of this year 2025, it's in thy mercy, it's in thy goodness, and in thy long-suffering patience that we may be together with our families, with the congregation, here in thy house, to hear what thou hast to say unto us through thy word. And Lord, as we have gathered together in thy house, may we ask thee, especially for thy presence, that thou would gather with us. And may we plead upon thy own promise. Thou hast said in thy word, where two or three are gathered together in thy name, thou wilt be in the midst. Lord, thou art that faithful God. There's no reason in us. We are sinful. We do sin. We have sinned. And we continue to sin against thee. Have mercy upon us, Lord. And for thy name's sake, for thy honor, for thy glory, for the coming of thy kingdom, for the salvation of sinners, for the gathering of thy dear sheep, come, Lord. And work mightily, irresistibly, by the power of thy Holy Spirit, that thy word may be proclaimed, thus saith the Lord, but also that we may hear that it's a word from God, and that thou would give that it may enter into our dark minds and enlighten our minds to teach us who we are, who thou art, and also that only way of salvation through thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But Lord, wilt thou also renew wills, take away hearts of stone, and give hearts of flesh, hearts that hunger and thirst for thee, for the living God, hearts that flee from things of this world, hearts that hate sin and love righteousness, hearts that are waiting upon thee, longing for thee, yearning for thee, waiting for a visit, for a word to be spoken unto our souls, hearts that long to see, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and that we may be together in this morning in thy favor, with thy presence, for the honor and for the glory of thy name, for our eternal salvation. Lord, we beg thee in this year, by thy word, by thy spirit, that many would be born again. Could it be the whole congregation? Thou art the mighty God. Thou hast saved 3,000 souls in one day, on the day of Pentecost. And thou art the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, may we beg thee, Lord, in thy wrath, remember mercy and do wonders that no man can work, that none can give himself, that only comes from thee, from that triune God, from the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and thee in whom there is complete salvation for completely lost, helpless, and hopeless sinners under thy wrath. Lord, we again have heard thy word in this morning, law and gospel. Use thy law as a mirror, thou who art that great prophet, to teach us of our sin, that we may not only know we are sin in our minds, but that we may become sin before thee, a holy and just God, who will by no means clear the guilty. And Lord, bless also the gospel. We sin against the law, but we also sin against the gospel. O Lord, may thy word then be richly blessed this morning, and may we all become guilty before thee, bowing in the dust, and yet looking up unto thee, from whence cometh all our help for this life and for the life to come. Richly bless thy word, Lord, and that thy kingdom may come, that thy name may be glorified, that the Lord Jesus Christ, that only mediator, that only redeemer, may become so necessary, that he may become so suitable and precious for poor and needy sinners. Give opening, Lord, to proclaim the riches and the preciousness of the gospel, of those riches that are in Jesus Christ. Give much prayer, and that thou would give opening, and that we may have a blessed day on this first Lord's Day in thy house. We pray and ask thee, Lord, to take away all the obstacles in preaching and listening, and that we may be able to proclaim, but also to listen. Give thy spirit, Lord. Give the unction to preach, but also to listen, and that thy word may be applied, and that there may be life, that there may be food, that there may be drink for poor and needy sinners. In thee, and thou who art the way, the truth, and the life, and thee who art the bread of life. O give, Lord, in this morning some crumbs from the master's table for little dogs, those who have no hope, no expectation, only can see sin and wickedness. O may they be drawn by thy cords of love to look outside of self upon thee, to see thee, that great high priest, that precious Savior, who is a great Savior for great sinners. Lord, we ask that thou would remember then the whole congregation, from the oldest to the youngest. Remember those who are yet dead in sins and trespasses. Lord, give them life. Pass them and speak and say, live, and that they may live. But remember also thy dear people. Thou knowest what each one of the little lambs and the sheep need. O Lord, thy word is profitable for all things. May it not only be for correction, for instruction, but may it also be for comfort for poor and needy sinners. May we acknowledge thee, Lord, that thou hast spared some in this congregation in this past week in accidents. They may have walked away without a single injury, without a scratch. It's thy mercy, Lord. It's thy long-suffering patience. It could have been so different. It could have been eternity for some of us. But thou hast extended their lives. Thou hast spared them for their families, for the congregation. Sanctify these callings, Lord, because one day it will be our turn to leave this life, to stand before thee. Lord, we beg and ask thee, prepare us by thy grace, by thy spirit, that we may truly meet thee in peace. The God against whom we have sinned, teach us that it's only through thy Son, through his merits, through his righteousness, and through his precious blood. Lord, bless thy word richly throughout the entire world, among Jew and Gentile. May thy kingdom come. Help all thy servants throughout the entire world to preach thy word as they are ambassadors for thee. Lord, give each one what we stand in need of. We are sons of men, sinners. We need thy grace. We need thy Holy Spirit. Lord, instruct that we may instruct others. Lord, remember the mission work also in Bolivia. Bless it. Care for the Bolivian people. Richly bless thy word among them, and that many may be gathered into that fold to know that only precious name given among men whereby we must be saved. Help then the office bearers, the elders, the deacons. Remember the church workers and their families. Remember also Pastor Marco. Help him, Lord. Also, as he has received a call, give him light, and that he may know thy will, and that he may follow. Lord, we ask that thou would remember all those who are mourning. Comfort them. All the sick and afflicted, bless the means they may use. Those who could not, come to thy house together with us. Remember where they are. Those who are listening along by the means thou hast given them, give a blessing also in their homes. Thou art that almighty, everywhere present, Lord God of heaven and of earth. And so, Lord, we beg thee, come. Come with thy Holy Spirit, Lord, and work mightily, irresistibly, conquering hearts and blessing thy word to the regeneration of sinners, but also for the sanctification, for the edification, for the instruction, and for the comfort of thy dear sheep. Lord, may we then lift up our eyes to thee together, from thee, from whom comest all our help. Look upon us through that precious all-atoning blood of the Lamb of God, and work mightily, irresistibly in our hearts. We ask for thy honor, for thy glory, and for our eternal salvation, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Congregation, let us continue now with singing from Psalter 419, the first three stanzas. Forth from thy courts, thy sacred dwelling, in jubilant accord, we hear sweet strains of praises swelling, O Israel's mighty Lord. To God who hears our imploration, we come to pay our vow. Soon men from every tribe and nation before our God shall bow. Psalter 419, the first three stanzas in the collections for this morning is the first for the church and the second for the building fund. May the Lord bless you and your gifts.
Thank you.
Dear congregation, in the book of Hebrews, we hear various times a word. The word is better. We read of a better hope, better sacrifices, better things, better covenant, better promises, better righteousness. And we may sum this all up in the following way. There is great salvation for great sinners and a great high priest, Jesus Christ. The book of Hebrews is written primarily for persecuted Christians, sheep of the good shepherd who are persecuted for the name of Jesus Christ. But it's also written to unbelievers who are mixed with those suffering Christians, with God's children. For those who have heard the gospel but have not surrendered with their whole heart to Jesus Christ. In the book of Hebrews, there's many exhortations and many warnings to both of these two groups. What's the purpose? The purpose is that those who have been born again, those who are God's children, suffering Christians, would persevere in the faith. But also that the unbelievers would truly repent and would believe the great gospel that they have heard. We do not know who the author is, and yet it doesn't really matter in a way. Because it's the Bible. It's the Word of God. God is speaking to those people through a man, a servant. And God is speaking to you and me this morning. As today also, we are a mixed multitude here. There are those who are the children of God, believers, sheep of the Lord Jesus Christ, and those who are not. And this morning, the message is for the whole congregation. We're all included. And this morning, we will consider one of the warnings that we read in Hebrews. And may the Lord richly bless His word by the power of the Holy Spirit, that His people would persevere, but also that sinners would be born again. So I'd like to draw your attention to the Word of God, which we will meditate this morning on this first Lord's Day of the new year. Hebrews 2, the first part of verse 3, where we read in the Word of God, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation?" The theme for this morning is, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? 4 points. 4 points in the form of questions. Why is it called a great salvation? We read in the text, so great salvation. Why is it a great salvation, congregation? Second, what does this great salvation deliver from? And I will give 8 points. And I think I could add more, but I will give 8 points. What this great salvation delivers from in that great high priest for great sinners. The third is, what is it to neglect so great salvation? Do you neglect it? Is it only the unbelievers? Or are God's children also neglecting salvation? Listen, I hope to explain. And the last thought is, what is the consequence? What is the consequence of neglecting so great salvation? So the theme, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Why is it called a great salvation? What does this great salvation deliver from? What is it to neglect this great salvation? And what is the consequence of neglecting this great salvation? And so, with the help of the Lord, our first thought this morning, Why is it called a great salvation? We read, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Salvation is a gift. It's given. It's given to unworthy sinners who only deserve the opposite. And to see the greatness of something, it's good to consider not only who is receiving it, but who it comes from. From whom does this great salvation come from, congregation? And who proclaims it? Who has proclaimed it? Who does proclaim great salvation? In the first place, it is a great salvation because it comes from God the Father, the Almighty, Holy God of heaven and earth. God the Father is the author of salvation. It comes from Him. It comes from the heart of God. It's a great salvation from God who gave His only begotten Son, as we read in John 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God the Father proclaims to us, informs unto us this great salvation. He gave the first promise when? He gave it already in paradise, before our covenant head Adam was expelled from paradise. Genesis 3, verse 15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And God spoke in the Old Testament through the prophets, through his servants, informing of this great salvation through the whole Old Testament. God the Father, through the prophets, I think of Isaiah. What great and precious gospel proclamations are in Isaiah. I think of Isaiah 9, verse 6, as if Isaiah was beside that manger, as we have considered last year. But I also think of Isaiah 53. It's as if Isaiah was standing by the cross looking at the Lord Jesus Christ. And I could mention many prophecies, but just one. From the prophecy of Isaiah, Isaiah 53, verse 11. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. This was not a message from Isaiah. He was a mouthpiece. This message came from God the Father. Why is it called a great salvation? Because it comes from God. But he also speaks, not only through the prophets, he also speaks through his Son. Hebrews 1, verse 1 and 2. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, but in these last days has spoken unto us by his Son. God the Father speaks of great salvation through his Son, Jesus Christ. While Jesus Christ was on earth, he spoke on behalf of his Father. He proclaimed the great salvation in himself, that Lamb of God, the Son of God. And he said in John 14, verse 10, the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. And so we see clearly that great salvation comes from the Almighty God. What a wonder, congregation. The very God whom you and I have offended to his very heart of his being, the very God, that majestic, holy, infinite being who cannot look upon sin, he proclaims great salvation. He proclaims great salvation unto enemies, unto wicked sinners like you and me. And so great salvation, it's great because of whom gives it. It comes from God the Father. But it's also comes from and through his Son, Jesus Christ. We may not only consider the great gospel as coming from Jesus Christ, and we may not only consider coming from God the Father. No, Trinity and unity. It comes from a triune God, and it's worked by the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul, in many of his epistles, writes in this way, giving glory to God the Father and Jesus Christ. I think of Philippians 1 verse 2. Grace be unto you in peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Great salvation, congregation. There is great salvation for great sinners that comes from God the Father and from God the Son. And we read in our chapter that we have heard in Hebrews 2 verse 3 at the end of the text, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord. The Lord refers to Jesus Christ in this context. The Lord Jesus Christ, he proclaims great salvation. What did he begin to preach about when he came, when he was preaching? What do we read in Mark 1 verse 14 and 15? Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. The prophets prophesied about the coming of the Messiah and that salvation, there would be great salvation in a great Savior for great sinners. But Jesus Christ himself came as the great Savior to proclaim to great sinners about great salvation. And he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's some who question, yes, today also, whether Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He is the Messiah. The Lord Jesus Christ has done everything, everything in his words and his deeds, so that the world may know that he is the great Savior for great sinners, and in him is great salvation. He not only preached, but he did miracles. Children, why did the Lord Jesus Christ do miracles? What was the purpose? To show that what he said was real and true. Every miracle was a little sermon. Every miracle he was preaching and proclaiming, I'm the Messiah. I'm the one you need. In me is great salvation for great sinners. And this great salvation that comes from God the Father and through Jesus Christ and his work in the hearts of sinners by the power of the Holy Spirit is free. It's great because it's also free. Great sinners do not need to pay even one penny, and they have nothing. They have nothing but sin. They have nothing to pay. They become bankrupt, lost, and guilty. It's great salvation in a triune God for great sinners who have nothing but sin and iniquities and transgressions and who cannot pay even one penny. And yet God must be paid. God must be paid. God by no means were clearly guilty. He can't simply forgive. How then can there be great salvation for great sinners? And how can it be free? Freely. Because Jesus Christ, that great Savior, paid with a great price of his precious body to satisfy that infinite justice of a holy and just God with an infinite payment. And so there is great salvation for great sinners. And this great salvation is free. Free. Because he paid for it with his broken body and with his precious shed blood. And now think for a moment of that great Savior, Jesus Christ. Think of him at the end of his life. I see in my imagination, in my thoughts, him as we read in the Word of God in Gethsemane. He who was a man became a worm. All the sins of all his people were placed upon him, and he became no man but a worm under the wrath of God, and his sweat became as great drops of blood. What a price he had to pay. What a price he was so willing to pay that there is great salvation. He took that cup that was filled with the wrath of God against great sinners, and he drank that cup to the very last drop. And he said in John 18, verse 11, "The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it?" He drank it, congregation. That great high priest, that great Savior, took that cup filled with all the wrath, and he willingly took it with love for the glory of the name of his Father and for the salvation of great sinners. He drank it so that there is and will be free salvation for great sinners. And that cup is not empty anymore. Yes, it's empty of wrath, but it's overflowing with mercy and grace for great sinners. What a wonder of God's grace. That great Savior, Judas and the soldiers came and they bound him. Yes, think about it. Wicked hands took hold of him and they bound him, and he willingly allowed himself to be bound. A sinful man bound the Son of God. And he allowed it. He did it willingly. And what did he say? "And let these go their way." What a substitute. What a great high priest. What a great Savior for great sinners. And he was before Pilate, and he was silent with all those accusations. Silent. He didn't say a word. That Lamb of God. And they even spit in his face, and he was silent. He didn't retaliate. He was silent as that Lamb of God, as that substitute. He stood guilty in the place of his people before the justice, the holy justice of God. What great salvation from God the Father through his Son, Jesus Christ, for great sinners. Isaiah 53, verse 7. "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, and yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth." He was led to Golgotha, and he was crucified on the cross. And there he even experienced the separation, which we cannot understand. The separation, the feeling of the separation of communion, of the favor of God his Father, of whom he was before him forever his delights. What great salvation for great sinners through God the Father, through the Son. Oh, may it be applied. May we see it today by the power of the Holy Spirit. What a cost. What a payment. What a payment. What great salvation. What a great cost. What a payment. And God the Father willingly gave his only beloved Son, and Jesus Christ willingly gave himself, so that today also you people of Cortland may hear. There is great salvation for great sinners. This great salvation you may hear. Thousands in this world do not hear of the great salvation. And those who are saved through this great salvation will enter into great glory, and they will sing that great song, giving great praises to the Father, to the Son, and the Holy Spirit, because that triune God will forever be worshipped for such great salvation. Revelation 5, verse 13. "And every creature which is in heaven, and on the earth, and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard saying, blessing, and honor, and glory, and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever." Great salvation. But what does this great salvation deliver from? What does it deliver from? It's a great salvation because it delivers from Children, what did the ark deliver Noah and his family from the wrath of God? What did the angel deliver Lot and his family from the wrath of God? These are wonderful deliverances. But the salvation of God the Father, the salvation of Jesus Christ, delivers from a great, profound deliverance. I will mention 8 points. Listen, please. And may the Lord bless it. May you see it, poor sinner, that there's great salvation in a great Savior. It delivers from the wrath of God. Do you deserve wrath because of your sin? Do you know it? Do you deserve wrath? We all deserve wrath because of who we are. But have you seen it? Do you know it? Is there a question? How can I be delivered from the wrath of God? It's through Him. It's through that precious Lamb of God, through Jesus Christ. Through the wrath. Deliverance from wrath. We read in Hebrews 2 verse 2. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, a just punishment. Wrath is just. But Jesus Christ, that great Savior, delivers great sinners from the wrath. Sometimes people may be angry at us. Children, have you ever experienced anger? Or that your mother or father are upset with you? What are you trying to do? You want your mother or father to again be happy with you. You want to see that smile, not a frown. And then maybe we do certain things and we get certain gifts as we get older. We try to appease. We try to take that anger away. We try to take a wrath away. But God's wrath is infinite. It's infinite. And who or how can that infinite wrath be taken away? How can the wrath of God be appeased, be satisfied? It's only through that infinite payment of Jesus Christ. There's great salvation for great sinners through that great high priest, Jesus Christ. By his payment, he takes wrath of God away. So that's the first. Great salvation. What does it deliver from? From hell. Yes, from hell. Great salvation in Jesus Christ delivers from eternal wrath, but also from being sent to eternal hell. Many people don't want to hear about hell. Why? Because they don't really know who God is. And because they don't really know what sin is. The Lord Jesus Christ, He's the one that spoke the most often about hell. He came to deliver sinners who justly deserve to be cast out in hell. For example, he said in Matthew 9, verse 43, "And if the hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched." My friend, do you need to be delivered from wrath, but also from that just punishment of eternal wrath in hell? There's great salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ delivers from wrath, and he delivers from hell. What else? Do you need to be delivered from the power of sin? Do you need to be delivered from the power of sin? Do you need to be delivered from the pollution of sin? Who can deliver great sinners from the power of sin? Jesus Christ. He has blood, and that blood has power, and he has grace to apply that blood. He has power to deliver from the power of sin, from the bondage of Satan, but also to deliver from the pollution of sin. Nothing can cleanse a sinner from all his sin except the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Nothing can cleanse a polluted heart. Nothing can forgive sin except that precious blood. Congregation, there's great salvation in a great Savior, Jesus Christ. And he delivers from the power of sin and from the pollution of sin. We sang A mighty stream of foul transgressions prevail from day to day. Is that you? Is that how you came this morning? That's me. It just keeps flowing out. All that sin, all that wickedness. My heart is just a fountain of wickedness. And maybe you try to kill it, to stop it, but it keeps boiling out. My friend, there's great salvation and a great Savior because of its great price. He can cleanse, He can deliver, and He can give a pure heart. We read a precious verse in 1 John 1 verse 17. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Oh, what great salvation in a triune God that comes through the precious Savior. What else does this great salvation deliver from? Fourthly, it delivers from the bondage of Satan. Not only from the bondage of sin, but also from the bondage of Satan. By nature, we're born under the power of Satan. We follow him, and we willingly follow him. But Jesus Christ, he has the power to deliver from the power, the bondage of Satan. Remember Mary Magdalene? She was possessed with seven devils, and the Lord Jesus Christ, for man that was impossible, but for him, he has the power. He had the power, and he delivered her from the bondage of sin, of Satan. There's great salvation, congregation. There's a great deliverance in the great Savior for great sinners, also sinners under the power of Satan. Are you? Are you still under the power of sin and Satan? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday. He who delivered Mary Magdalene, he can also deliver you. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's hope because he's a mighty Savior for hopeless, powerless sinners. What else does this great salvation deliver from this evil world? God's children, those dear sheep of the Good Shepherd, they live in this evil world. All the temptations, all the sin, all the wickedness, all the evil, they live among it, through it. But one day, because of him who paid, one day they will be delivered. They will be taken out of this world, either at their death or when he returns. And the Lord Jesus Christ, that great Savior, he looks forward to this day when all his sheep may be forever delivered, forever with him, ever praising, and to see his glory. Have you been delivered from the bondage of sin, of Satan? And do you long to be delivered from this evil world? Or are you okay living in this evil world? Six, this great salvation also delivers from a separation from God. By nature, we're born separated from God. There's an infinite distance from a holy God and from wicked sinners. But it doesn't only take away the separation, but it also gives communion. Communion. When sinners are born again, they begin to feel that separation. And they long for communion. They long for favor. And Jesus Christ, that great Savior, has purchased great salvation. And he will take away that separation. And there will be communion experienced here already on this earth. But it will come where it's completely fulfilled. Where there'll be no more separation. But it will be eternal, sweet communion, Lord, with thee. Oh, what great salvation in this great Savior. What else? From the assaults of Satan. Satan attacks God's people. He attacks them. And he wants to destroy them. And he attacks sometimes so deadly, so cruelly, that he enters and he whispers in their heart, as you read in Pilgrim's Progress, those blasphemes in their heart. And they say, what is this? What is this? And he speaks evilness in their own heart. He attacks. He wants to destroy them. But one day, Because of the great Savior, they will be delivered from all the assaults of Satan. No more able to assault them, forever delivered. What else? May I ask you, what else do you long to be delivered from? I mentioned seven things, but there's something else. What is it? What do you long for? To be delivered from self. To be delivered from sinful self, that wretchedness, that wickedness that clings. The good that I would, I do not. The evil that I would not, that I do. Do you know what Paul said in Romans 7, verse 24? O wretched man that I am. Maybe you repeat these, but do you know it? Do you feel it? Do you long to be delivered as a wretch? Who shall deliver me from the body of death? My friend, do you have a longing to be delivered from these things? Have you seen it? It's nothing in self that it can ever deliver you. You're hopeless and helpless, but you need a mighty Savior, and there is a mighty Savior, Jesus Christ. Do you need to be delivered from these things and a multitude of other things? Let us sing now, standing from 362, all three stanzas. 362, standing all three stanzas. From out the depths I cry, O Lord, to thee. Lord, hear my call. I love thee, Lord, for thou dost heed my plea, forgiving all. If thou should mark our sins, who then could stand? But grace and mercy dwell at thy right hand. 362, all three stanzas.
Thank you.
Dear congregation, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? What is it to neglect so great salvation? Well, imagine being terminally ill, stage 4 cancer. And one day you hear a doctor who has studied for many years has found a cure exactly for the type of cancer that you have. And that on a certain date, he's going to reveal what he has found, and he has a medicine to help you exactly for your cancer. Would you not, with an intense desire, long to hear, look for that date to be able to hear that cure that he has found and how you could be healed? My friends, you and I have an incurable disease. What is that disease, children, young people? What's the disease that all of us have? Sin. Sin, which no doctor can help us with. No doctor has a cure. But God, in his infinite wisdom, abundant mercy, unspeakable goodness, and infinite love, has thought of a great salvation for great sinners, that he can remain just and he can justify, that he can forgive sinners, that he can embrace great sinners as sons and as daughters. Only God can save great sinners through the great payment of his great precious Son, Jesus Christ. And he can only save those through his Son, those who have nothing to pay bankrupt bonds, because the payment of Jesus Christ, this is the great salvation. This is revealed in the precious gospel. Now, what would you say about a person who had incurable cancer and heard about that doctor, and that such a day he would proclaim the way to be cured, but he refused? He absolutely refused to even consider to go and to listen. He said, I'm staying home. I'm not going. I think we would say, my friend, don't be so stubborn. Don't be so foolish. I think we'd want to go visit that person. Wouldn't we? And wouldn't we want to encourage him? My friend, you're dying. You're perishing. And this doctor has the cure. Why don't you go? Because if you don't go, you will certainly die. But sadly, this is the reality for thousands on this earth. They have an incurable disease. Some don't know, but some know here. But they don't go. They don't go to that great physician. They hear about him. They don't go to him who has great salvation for great sinners. They hear about it. They hear about great salvation. They hear about a great Savior. They hear they are great sinners. But they don't go. They don't cry to him. They don't open the Word of God to seek for him. They have no need. And he says, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. But they don't even look. They just keep looking at self, or they keep looking at the world and all the things. It all has their attraction. They don't go. Why? What's the reason, congregation? Unbelief. Wicked unbelief. That wicked unbelief. They don't believe who they are. They don't believe who God is. They don't believe who that Savior really is. They don't need him. They don't need him for all those reasons. They don't need him as the way back to God. They don't need to be reconciled. They're okay, they're fine, or they just want to live in this world. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, congregation? One day you will stand before God and he will ask you a question. What have you done? What have you done with the gospel you have heard? What have you done with my son? What does it mean to neglect salvation? Who can neglect salvation? Who? Can God's children neglect salvation? Or is this only the unbelievers? Or can both? Well, what does the word neglect mean in Greek? It has two meanings. It means that you have absolutely no interest. You completely ignore it. Absolutely, completely. But it also means to be careless. To be careless. Who completely neglects salvation? The unbelievers. And who can be careless in connection to such great salvation? God's people. Yes, this is a message for the whole congregation. It's a warning for the whole congregation, for all. Do you remember the reason this book was written? It contains exhortations and warnings, and through the exhortation and warnings, the Lord is not only speaking to the unbelievers, that they would hear, that they would be born again, and that they would seek salvation in Jesus Christ, but also, how does God cause his people to persevere? What do we read in the Canons of Dort? A whole list of things, and one of them also is warnings and threats. Both can neglect salvation, but in different ways and in different degrees. Example again, there's two people that have cancer. Two people that have cancer, both have heard of this doctor and the medicine. And that the way that they can be cured from this horrible disease, the one person does not believe it at all. He doesn't believe it at all. He refuses to go to the doctor. He refuses to hear about the medicine. This is an example of an unbeliever who completely ignores the gospel because his heart is completely in the world and he rejects Jesus Christ. No need for him. No cry. No sigh. No looking unto him. No begging. God be merciful to me, a sinner. No opening the word and searching for him. Nothing. The world has his heart. And he's happy, dead in sins and trespasses. What wickedness. But the other person, he hears, he goes, he trusts, he wants to hear. And he knows he has that daily need to have that medicine, but he only takes it sometimes. Sometimes. He doesn't take it faithfully. He's careless. Careless with the remedy for his disease. The second person is a child of God. They have learned who they are, lost, sinful, wretched, and they have learned and heard by the work of God, by grace, by the Holy Spirit, that Jesus Christ is the only Savior. They begin to believe in him, they trust in him, but they're not faithful in leaning upon him, living close to him every day. They may be backsliding. They may be again falling into sin. They don't read the word faithfully. They don't go on their knees faithfully, needing to speak daily to their great Savior of great sinners. Or they neglect also the sacraments, which is for their benefit, for the strengthening of faith. They could possibly be like those Christians that we read in those seven letters to the churches. Revelation 2 verse 4, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." Is that you? Have you left your first love? Or maybe you're very discouraged. The multitude of cares and concerns. Maybe you are experiencing some form of persecution and you need an exhortation to persevere. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? The purpose is for God's own dear children to persevere, to be living close, to be needing him. As a wretch at his feet, needing the shepherd daily for food, daily to be guided, daily to be led, and to be sanctified more and more, and to be conformed to his image. My friend, how is it with you? Are you still one of those that completely, absolutely ignores? You come to church to quiet your conscience, but you go home, you have no need, there's no hunger, no need, not even the slightest cry or sigh for that precious Savior. My friend, are you one of those sheep? One of those little lambs? Maybe you don't even want to say it. That's not my name. But you have learned something, that you're lost. Under the wrath of God, there's pain in your heart because you sin against the good-doing God. You hunger, you thirst for Him. And maybe through the word or the preaching, the reading or the hearing, you saw something, the slightest little hope in another. For example, maybe on Christmas, you heard that He came for sinners. That gave hope, that gave encouragement. How is it? Children of God, do you remember the first time when the gospel came with power to your soul? That was sweet. There was joy. There was hope. But how is it now in your heart? Oh, then you wanted to tell everyone. You wanted to speak. You wanted to point to Him. You could get rid of all sin, everything. Everything that was sin, you cast out the door. But has it come creeping back in? Are you backsliding? Are you careless? Are you neglecting so great salvation? We read in Revelation 2 verse 5. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. God's people. Yes, God's own dear people. It's a message for us today also. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Oh, that we would always be living close to the Good Shepherd, in His word, in prayer, under His wings, listening to His heartbeat, looking at Him, listening to Him, following Him, obeying Him, surrendering, denying self. But there's also those who hear about Him, who hear about that they are great sinners, but they completely neglect Him. He speaks and says, come unto me. They don't listen. They have no need. And they try to use excuses. But what did Jesus say? What did the Lord Jesus Christ say? I would have gathered thee so often as a hen would have gathered her chicks, but ye could not. What does He say? What did He say? Ye would not. The Lord Jesus, in the parable of the great supper, He gave that invitation, but they all had excuses, one after another. Why? Because they had better things to do. That's it. That's our guilt, congregation. By nature, our hearts are in this world. We hear the great salvation. We hear of a great Savior. We hear that we are great sinners. But our hearts are captured by this world. We need grace. We need to be born again. We need to be made alive. We need to repent. We need that faith. We need to flee and make haste for our life's sake. My prayer for this whole congregation, He said, God would richly bless His word by the power of the Holy Spirit, and that we'd all become guilty. You who only reject the gospel, that you would become guilty. We sin against the law, but we also sin against the goodness of God, the gospel. And that you who are recipients of God's grace may not neglect such great salvation. What will be the consequence, children of God? What will be your consequence? It will go colder, colder, and colder. You won't live in joy. You won't live in peace that you had in the past. You won't experience sweet communion. It will become dark. It's not for the glory of God, but it's not also only good for your own soul. You'll miss assurance. But you who are only neglecting so great salvation, what are you doing? You know what you're doing? You know what I need to tell you this morning from the word of God? You are calling God a liar. Yes, that's what John writes about. those who reject and turn and who will not bow. We are calling God a liar with our unbelief by completely neglecting so great salvation. We're saying, no, we would never say it with our words because we're reformed and we know it, not to say this, but it's what we're doing is we're saying, Lord, I'm not so bad. I'm not a great sinner. Lord, I don't believe thy infinite wrath. Lord, I don't believe thy infinite mercy through Jesus Christ. Lord, I don't believe that's the way of salvation. We're calling him a liar. What wickedness. What wickedness. Open your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians. We'll read a couple of verses. What will be the consequence of those who only neglect so great salvation? 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, 8 and 9. The Lord Jesus will return. Listen, and may the Lord bless his word. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 8 and 9. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. My friend, take the message, the word of God home. Take it home. May it bring you on your knees. How shall I escape if I neglect so great salvation? And people of God, lambs and sheep, you are recipients of grace. Do not neglect the precious salvation, the word of God. Live with it daily, faithfully. And one day he will come, and he will come, and he will gather all his sheep. And you will hear from his blessed lips of that precious Savior, that great Savior in whom there is great salvation for great sinners. Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. The Lord, the Almighty God, takes pleasure in his people. He has provided great salvation, and he will beautify his people, wretched sinners, with his salvation. We'll end with one text, Psalm 149, verse 4. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Amen. Let us close in prayer. Almighty, eternal Lord God of heaven and earth, may we ask thee, Lord, to richly, powerfully, irresistibly apply thy precious word. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Lord, wilt thou apply, and that those who are only and continually unto this very moment only rejecting, neglecting so great salvation, may they become guilty, may they become lost. But also, Lord, we beg thee that thy word may also be a blessing to thy dear people, that they may persevere, that they may mortify sin, and that they may repent, and that they may flee daily unto thee, faithfully using the means of grace. Lord, help also those, the two brother elders who will teach catechism, make it a blessing for them and for our children. Keep us in this day, and bring us back tonight to hear of that only true comfort in life and in death. Lord, give opening and bless thy word for thy honor, for thy glory, and for our eternal salvation. Amen. Let us close now with singing from Psalter 407. Psalter 407, the first three stanzas. Oh, praise ye the Lord and sing a new song. Amid all his saints his praises prolong. The praise of their maker his people shall sing, and children of Zion rejoice in their king. 407, the first three stanzas. congregation, receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.